Welcome back to The Working Week with me, Ben Askins, the show where we take a topic about work, about business, where the challenges are occurring, and work out exactly where it's going wrong and what we can do to fix it. And today we're going to be asking ourselves a very simple question. Why is 2025 shaping up to be one of the worst years ever when it comes to getting a job? Let's get into it. Relentless drive and determination and the willingness to fail until you succeed. This is an executive assistant position, okay? Why are you being so dramatic with this job spec?
How would you convince me to buy this pen?
Okay, well, you don't need to buy a pen then.
Do you blame them? We've all been spun this lie by society.
Even for the internet, that feels like something people mostly will agree with me on. So 2025 is shaping up to be one of the toughest job markets we've had for a very long time, and there are a lot of different theories in regards to what that is. A lot of people are pointing to the actual application process, as these clips summarize nicely.
Okay, so the question is, stupid, cheesiest question I've ever read in my life. All right. What is your impression of SkyWest company culture and how does that resonate with you?
Oh, I've got so many sympathies. Obviously, doing a lot of recording of content, I've got so many sympathies for how easy that is to do.
So during an interview, they said they were going to do word association.
It's where they say a word and you say the first thing that comes into your mind.
Oh, for example, they say fruit, I said apple.
They say transportation, I said car. Sorry, I've already skipped ahead to see what was next.
Everything was going rather well until they said camel.
They're going to say toe, aren't they?
Camel, and I instantly...
and I instantly said toe was my response.
Yes.
I said camel toe to me.
Oh, that's good. I'm not a big fan of those word association games, especially as it's so easy to do things like this. And so obviously you've got the application process, but some people blame the interviews themselves, saying that people aren't trained enough, and they often get frustrating and quite tedious questions like this.
How would you convince me to buy this pen?
So, do you have pen?
Yes, I do.
Where's your pen?
You've just seen it.
Actually, I have it right here.
Okay, well, you don't need to buy pen then. You already have one. You have to save money. Do you know, in this economy, you can't be wasting money. You have to save your money.
I mean, firstly, I do find that question incredibly tedious, right? We've all seen Wolf of Wall Street. It's firmly ruined that question. Can we please pick another question to ask? There are plenty of ones you can ask to gauge how someone might be able to sell to you. Secondly, starting with, do you have a pen, when she's just shown you, it's not the strongest start to that question, but I absolutely love the pivot to just sort of giving financial advice in regards to, but why are you spending your money? So I really enjoyed that clip. That's absolutely excellent. But like I said, please, can we just all agree as a society, we just need to ditch that stupid question and vaguely come up with something else. It's been a long time coming, that one in particular. But the reality is, look, there are obviously frustrations around applications, interviews, etc. And we will get into those. But the reality is that's actually not what the core reason in regards to why so many people are finding 2025 such a tough year when it comes to getting a job. And if you don't believe me, this headline summarizes it mostly. Looking at the UK first, it's nightmarish why 1.5 million Britons are still hunting for a job. And so straight away, we're seeing 1.5 million is quite a lot, and it's important to resonate here, right? I'm not talking about economically inactive or things like that. This is people who are directly trying to get employed, but are, for whatever reason, struggling a lot to do so. And the Standard backs this up, saying that business hiring is at its weakest since the pandemic following the budget tax raid on employers. So that's obviously referring to the government introducing that NI hike last year, and that's certainly impacted it, but it's not the sole reason. Because the reality is businesses are hiring a lot less than they were, so job vacancies have recently plummeted to being below the pre-pandemic levels. So to give you an understanding, the number of new jobs was 781,000 between January and March this year, which is a 16% drop from the same period last year. That's quite a big change in just 12 months. And we're still seeing numbers of redundancies continuing. So redundancies have fallen for the first time after 5 consecutive months of increases, but between December and February of 2025, a total of 117,000 people just here in the UK were made redundant. And although that is a decrease of 7,000 from the previous month, it's much like inflation, right? Just because the number slightly goes down, it doesn't mean that the number of people being made redundant isn't still continuing. So that's a really important factor to bear in mind. So you've got people being made redundant and you've got companies hiring less. So straight away, we're kind of seeing the maths in regards to there is just a lot more competition for far fewer roles. And this seems to be covering across all age groups. So for example, on the graduate application process, we've got 140-to-1 ratio in regards to applicants per job available. available. And according to the Institute of Student Employers, that's the highest number recorded from a ratio perspective since they started collecting the data in 1991. So it's one of those that could be the worst ever, but it's certainly the worst since data started being collected since 1991, which, when you think about some of the sort of economic issues we've gone through over the last sort of 35, 40 years, that's quite wild. And all of this is leading to basically a 286% year-on-year increase in applications per job. And literally, this transpires, if you saw this one job spec in particular that we found, you had 1,996 applications for this one job. With these sorts of numbers, you can see why people are feeling like it's becoming such a tough job market. And all of this has led to an increase in the unemployment rate, rising up to 4.4%, up from 4.2% from the year before, which is an increase of 114,000 additional people essentially looking for work. And like I said, it is important to clarify, when I'm talking about the 1.6 million people who are currently unemployed, those are the ones who are actually actively looking for work. And this is not something that's tied specifically to the UK. Over in the US, the waters are looking pretty murky there as well. The US Bureau of Labor Statistics say that 7.1 million people are out of work, compared to 6.3 million people at the same time last year. And that is quite a lot. That takes the unemployment rate from 3.7% in November 2023 to 4.2% in November 2024. That is not a small increase. So if the problem is companies are hiring less, the big question is, why are they doing so? Well, as ever with these things, it is a little bit complicated. There's a lot of economic factors that are playing a part, and it's this sort of general feeling of instability. Here in the UK, things like the national insurance hike is something that Rachel Reeves did, and she said at the time she was aware this was going to be a pinch to businesses, but this has seemed to have a huge impact in regards to people either hiring less or not choosing to hire at all because of that impact on national insurance, where companies are now having to pay a 15% rate on their employees. At a global level, you have things like the Ukraine war, you have things like Trump's tariffs, which are obviously causing huge instability in the markets at the moment. And all of that really does start to trickle down. And basically, if companies are not sure about the direction, they just play it safe. And basically what playing safe means, they don't spend as much. And often most costs come through salary. So people simply say, right, we'll give it 6 months, we'll give it a year. We're going to either not hire as much, or we're just going to play it safe and not hire at all, and we'll put together a hiring freeze. And all of this has a very real impact. And we end up with this situation where a lot of people are really trying to get work. And again, what I find funny about all of this, right, is every government says this is all about getting people back to work, it's all about increasing economic activity and all that sort of stuff, and we have huge chunks of the population desperately trying to do exactly that and yet seemingly unable to. And it is a tough job market out there, as this person who got in touch explains.
I've applied for over 130 media jobs, that's media, journalism, PR, and I've had about 30 interviews. None of them were successful, but I do find it annoying how the sheer amount of people who just ignore you and pretend that you don't exist. Like, you've gone through a two-stage interview sort of system. They liked your CV, they interviewed you once, they interviewed you twice, and then it's just radio silence. And sometimes even they get you to do little articles for their website, and they'll publish them on the website, and then that's it. I mean, it's almost as if they've got some free labor out of you. And it's really annoying, because it makes you feel worse, because you think you're getting somewhere and then you're not, and then you never hear from them again.
I have so much sympathy for this. And this is such a classic symptom of what happens when you start to see people tightening belts, people hiring less, and more applicants per job available. Because this is one of the big problems, is when companies have loads of people to choose from, bad habits like not responding to feedback, look, I get it, right? If loads of people apply, you can't send a personalized message for every single one. But if you've interviewed someone, you can damn well give them some feedback. Like, that seems like at the very least, drop them an email saying, really sorry you've not been successful. Like, I would argue you should try and give some feedback, but like, at the very least, that feels like such a basic level. And this is the problem, right? When it's a candidate driven market, so when people have a lot more companies to choose from and it's more competitive for candidates, that's where good companies thrive, right? Because people have to be on their best behavior. So at the basic level, right, if I'm a company and I've got 10 people to choose from, I can afford to hack two or three of those people off. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I can afford it because there's lots of people I could pick to work for me. However, if there's less candidates available, a candidate-driven market, as it's called, One person could have three or four companies interested in them, and at that point, companies have to be on their best behaviour and do all the basics like give feedback, not make the application process ridiculous, vaguely try and come across as someone who knows what they're doing, because they know that they need to put their best foot forward, otherwise they'll just pick one of the other companies that are trying to sort of recruit them. And so that's what I mean. I'm a big fan of candidate-driven markets because I really think it's a great opportunity for companies, for good companies to rise up and for bad companies to be punished. But stuff like this, I mean, come on, like, what do you want me to say? Like, you know that's not good enough, especially if they've done a task for you. I mean, that's quite a lot of work. Some of these tasks are like 3, 4, 5 hours work, right? And if you're not even getting feedback for that, and yet you see that work being used later, it's obviously so not okay. I mean, one of the things I do, if I set people tasks, I genuinely do pay them for that. I give them sort of a, you know, 2-3 hours pay essentially to do that work for me. And for me, that's just kind of like obvious, because that way they actually prioritize it and I get their best work, and it allows me to make a more informed decision on the person I want to hire. But like, it's just so not okay. Like, of course it's not. This is why people get hacked off. You know, someone else got in touch to write this. So I'm 51. I've been made redundant 7 times in my life. I work in sales, and so regular layoffs are pretty standard practice and it doesn't usually faze me. But never in my career, even after the 2008 crash and during COVID, has it ever taken me this long to find a new job. I'm not even getting interviews. I've started applying for other random jobs like a delivery driver or retail assistant. And guess what? If they do come back to me, they tell me I've not got the right experience. Is this all just age discrimination, or is it because AI now shifts through so many applicants? I am beyond fed up. And again, I think this is a really important point, Alex. I think one of the more unhelpful things you hear when people are struggling to get a job, right, is they just go, if you need a job, just go deliver goods for a little bit and get back into the game. Like, there's always a way to get a salary. It's like, yeah, but a lot of people don't hire people if you've not got the experience, if you've not got the background in delivery. Like this person said, you know, he's a sales background, right? He's obviously been in sales for a long time. Like I said, you know, sales, he's right. Like, that is quite a sort of risky job, in the sense of you do make a lot more redundancies happen in those departments than in others. So he's obviously used to it. It's not something like he's just sort of completely gone, oh my God, my career's over. Like, he's obviously very aware of it, and he's gone through the rocks, right? He's gone through 2008. He's obviously gone through the pandemic. And so he's done everything that, you know, the advice you get is, oh, just get another job and you can still try and pay the bills. Don't be economically inactive, blah, blah, blah. And you go, well, yeah, but he's done that, right? He literally has done everything and it's still not working. So I do think that's important, right? We've got to be very careful. We don't just say, oh, everyone just, you know, they don't really want a job. They just want to, you know, like, it's just so not true. It's just so not true. And like I said, the problem that comes down to it is it allows companies to start getting away with sort of poor behavior. And for me, there's kind of two main formats that I see that sort of bad habits creeping. And by the way, when I say bad behavior, right, like, I'm broadly saying you shouldn't do it because it's the wrong thing to do. And like, I think we can all surely no one's going to disagree with me, right? If you've gone through 2 interviews and done a task, at the very least you could send an email rejecting. I mean, even for the internet, that feels like something people mostly will agree with me on. But I think when I talk about bad formats, I'm talking about like poor business practice from a business perspective. So I just think this is really silly, because when things start to get better, your company is going to be punished for it, because those bad habits, people will remember. I know you think that it doesn't matter, but people really do clock it. Things like Glassdoor, things start cropping up, people start repeating it. It really does impact you at a business level if you do these things. So that's what I mean by bad behavior. And there's 2 main formats I see it. The first is the job description. You've really got to start thinking about job descriptions a little bit more. Honestly, some of the absolute guff that I'm seeing at the moment is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this one in particular, I mean, I could have picked any of them. There's a lot out there, but this one really sort of just hacked me off for a variety of different reasons. So we're going to dive into it. So this is not a typical executive assistant position. Needed to be the right hand and left arm of a very creative Scottsdale-based, fast-paced, scattered entrepreneurial executive who has pulled in many directions at once from his many business ventures. I mean, I already hate that, right? To be the right hand and left arm. It's like, just, you don't need to be clever in a job description, right? You need clear, this is what the job is, let's talk, like, just, you don't need this nonsense. No experience or college education required, just very well organized, why are we in capitals, with relentless drive and determination and the willingness to fail until you succeed. It's like, I'm sorry, this is an executive assistant position, okay? You're not the US Marines, calm the down. What are you doing? Why are you being so dramatic with this job spec? Must be very, very good at Word, Excel, PowerPoint. It's like, oh God. Oh, that tells me a lot about the profile of this particular individual. You will learn more in 6 months with us than you would learn at 4 years of college. Is that true? And have your fingers in many startup ventures.
What?
As well as existing business all at once. Well, that sounds like a healthy workload there. This person must be willing and open to trying anything. Okay, that sounds slightly sinister. And doing anything to ultimately succeed at the task. And I say, what does that mean? Note, if you have an ego, are at all sensitive, lazy, watch the clock, think you know it all, or are not a team player, please don't apply. Oh my God. And then this is probably the kicker. The benefits, he's listed paid time off. It's like, no, that's a legal requirement. This does my head in. You can't claim something's a benefit if the law is making you do it. That's basically like listing a salary as a benefit. Pay time off is something you have to give them. You don't get to claim credit for it. It's such a weird thing to do. So clearly we're dealing with a tough situation, right? UK and US were experiencing the steepest recruitment decline in years, job markets flooded with competition, a lot of graduates, especially at the highly educated level, really struggling to get the job. And because it's been like that for a couple of years, a lot of people who were kind of graduated the year before still looking, and so that increases more income. So it's a bit of a doom loop in the sense of where we're going, and I think that's the big challenge, right? So I guess the question is this the worst year yet? And so we've taken a little bit look about some of the other tougher years when it comes to recruitment, when it comes to getting a job. So unemployment figures here in the UK have absolutely risen, however unemployment still remains pretty low by historical standards. So when you look back at some of the sort of tougher times, you think like 2008, that peaked at 8% in 2009 and 8.1% unemployment in 2011. But if you went back even further, if we go back to the 70s, we're looking at 11.9% in April 1984. And so at the moment, we're here at 4.4%. And if you wanted to head even further, back during January 1933, although the data here is slightly less concrete, we're at roughly 23% during the Great Depression. So clearly we've had much worse in regards to like the genuine numbers. However, I think what people are kind of pointing at a little bit is it feels like we could be in the bit of a start of something, okay? Going back to like all the sort of challenges from an economic perspective, from tariffs to wars to whatever it might be, this doesn't feel like we're at the ending point. The kind of concern is this could be slightly at the start of the beginning. So 2025 isn't necessarily the worst it's ever been, but it's a pretty bad start. And the concern is this isn't going to get better anytime soon. And what everyone's looking for, what everyone's sort of basically crying out for, from the most senior of senior executives to the most junior of graduate entries to the job market, is they're just looking for a bit of reassurance and a bit of competency when it comes to just basically making sure that everything remains as stable and you can get that sort of economic stimulus going. But it's the uncertainty that seems to be bringing a lot of the challenges. And on the uncertainty element in regards to where is this all going, it is worth briefly touching upon AI and its role in both the job seeking and the job hiring market. So a recent survey by Adzuna showed that over half, 59% of job seekers now use AI to apply for jobs. And whilst that makes a lot of sense because you're applying for multiple roles, having something like ChatGPT to write you a cover letter or something like that can make a big difference, it's starting to cause companies to really be aware of this and start to mistrust a lot of things like cover letters and applications, because basically it runs the risk of them hiring someone who can't do what they say they do, but because ChatGPT made them sound like they knew what they're talking about, it adds another level of mistrust to it. And obviously that's not necessarily the case, but it does add that another layer of sort of, well, who are we hiring? Are we going to be hiring? Should we be a little bit more cautious about it? And the other challenge is now companies, because they're getting so many applications because people are applying to more through the use of AI, companies are now using AI to mark CV. So basically we're in this slightly ridiculous situation, and bear in mind a lot of the complaints about jobs and like the soullessness of searching for a job is the sort of lack of human contact. We now have AI writing the job descriptions, AI applying for the jobs, and they AI marking whether those job applications are worth it. It's like, well, hang on, like this is slightly getting out of hand. So I'm sympathetic as well, because I totally understand why job seekers are using AI. I get why companies are using it to kind of help mark the homework, but at the same point it's kind of re-emphasizing the challenges, which is people are taking longer to hire or hiring the wrong people because a lot of people who perhaps can do the job are not using AI, but because ChatGPT is making the right people sound. Does that make sense? Like, so it's just becoming a little bit convoluted, and AI is supercharging a lot of the sort of uneasiness when it comes to the job application process. And so at this point, I wanted to sit down to talk to someone to find out exactly just how bad it is out there. And I'm delighted to have spoken to Shoshana Davis, founder of the brilliantly named Fairy Job Mother, a consultancy which helps young people navigate work, but also works with employers to advise how to retain young staff and how to actually hire in the right way.
I do speak to lots of young people, qualified young people who have maybe done a degree, or their school leavers who who've just finished school and got top grades, and they're literally facing 50 plus rejections, right? And these are people that have good grades, are qualified, etc. So I can only imagine how hard it is maybe for someone that doesn't have that and doesn't have qualifications.
So when you say they're being rejected, say take those 50 rejections, because I get similar stories, right? And where I try and break it down is which part of the process are they failing at? So if they've got amazing grades, right, presumably they're getting to interview stage, is that fair? Or is it more...
No, I mean, no, there are like the majority of these people that are struggling with this, they are not even getting to interview stage. I think it's a multitude of reasons. I think it's certain industries are oversaturated. I think it's just very competitive. I think technology, I think some companies are outsourcing things. I think mental health plays a part. Low salaries play a part. I mean, realistically, national living wage was only increased, and I believe for like an apprentice, it's still something like £10 an hour. Whereas who can actually pay their bills based on £10 an hour? That's like 13k a year, something ridiculous.
So that's interesting. So that's slightly different, isn't it? Because I guess when we start off, we're talking about like people not being able to get a job at all. But is it people are getting jobs that they don't want, they don't like the salary, so they're being offered the jobs, but the salary's not good enough, or the work's not good enough, or is it they're just not getting the job offers at all?
I think it is a combination of factors for sure. Some people, yes, they are really struggling. I think also some people, if you see a salary which is anything, I'd say under 30k, that's not really livable in today's world. So why would you apply for it if you're not going to be able to pay your bills, if you're going to get in further debt? There may be a balance between that, but that is just one factor.
So I actually totally agree with you, right? Especially if we're living in London, I think, you know, that £30,000 money is actually really key when it comes to a living wage. And I think that's an important phrase. I'm still really curious, right? I'm still trying to get like the sort of big picture here. So is it just simply there aren't enough jobs, or is it there are jobs that we are perhaps, you know, let's be frank, like a little bit snobby about in regards to if you've gone to university, you then don't want a career in certain sectors and stuff like that. Which one, if you had to come down on one side of the fence, which would you say it is at the moment?
Oh, I definitely agree with the fact that in certain industries, there's not enough supply for demand. So there are more people with degrees and qualifications than there are jobs. However, I'm sure there is a percentage of the population that maybe thinks they've gone to university for 4 years and studied a degree and they are set on doing that and they do not want to switch industries. But to be fair, do you blame them? We've all been spun this lie by society that all you need to do to have this dream life is go to school, get really good grades, go to university, complete the degree, get the job, you're then going to buy that house, go travelling, become CEO in 2 years, right? It's made out to be like that, right? And I think for lots of young people, they believe that, they've been sold that. And for us to just say, you've dedicated 4 years of your life to studying a topic, sorry, you have to change careers, I don't know if that's fair. I think a lot of work needs to be done earlier on.
Yeah, I totally agree. So on that, I find this really interesting, right? So on that topic, like there are some obvious ones like law, you obviously, and accountancy, doctors, like there's very specific occupations where minimum you either need to go down the official route or you need to do like conversion course in states of law and stuff like that. I think what I'm trying to understand is is it simply just everyone's just applying for jobs and there aren't enough? Or is it a case that people are not prepared for the interviews, they're being rejected more? Is it a case of people are just not wanting to hire juniors, they're looking for more experience? That's what I'm trying to understand. For me, it sounds like it's just not enough jobs in the sense of people are putting a bit of hiring freeze and then you've got the year before that and all of that. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree with those. I also think tools like LinkedIn Easy Apply and things like ChatGPT, they're obviously making it so easy to submit high volumes of applications that now you can just click Easy Apply and your application's gone, and that increases volumes of applications for sure, which then does make it harder. But then equally, I do also think that there isn't education around how to actually apply for a job, and then there's also lots of conflicting and quite confusing career advice online on social media, and young people are just like, okay, well, what do I actually follow? One day this person said that I need to tailor my CV to every role, but the other day this person said that I can just use ChatGPT to mass apply. I don't know which one I should be doing, so I'm either just going to maybe give up because I'm fed up with it altogether, or I'm just going to pick one and stick to it.
I do think AI, and I mentioned this in the main story, we've got this situation now where a lot of people can be made to look a lot better. So perhaps the more legitimate candidates with the right background degree aren't standing out because AI is making everyone's profile look pretty similar. And then you've got AI marking the CVs, which isn't helping either because you're losing that human element and people can't make that judgment call. And then so the whole sort of AI element to make it easy, in inverted quotes, seems to be causing a lot more complications.
Yes, I definitely think it's causing complications. I'm seeing a slightly different challenge. So some employers I speak to and I work with, they tell me they... So in some of them will have application questions, or some of them will have, you must cover this in your cover letter. And they're basically receiving like hundreds of absolutely identical cover letters or application answers, which again is causing a challenge because there's more applicants. But then also they're obviously mass rejecting those people because they can tell when it's been used. I personally think that it's okay to use ChatGPT, but I think it should be used as a tool rather than a replacement, and I think it can be really beneficial if used in the right way, but you shouldn't use it blindly. But again, no one is teaching people how to use it. You just see loads of quick hacks and quick wins on TikTok for, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. No one's questioning anything. No one knows what they're supposed to be doing. So yeah,
perfect. So I know I've got limited of your time, so yes. If I was to ask for your sort of top two tips in regards to, if I was someone junior looking for their first job or even looking to get a new job, whatever it might be, what advice would you give to them?
What my top piece of advice would be, don't solely just rely on applying for jobs online. I would strongly recommend actually getting yourself out there in person. In such a digital age, I feel like building in-person relationships and connections are so much more important. So I used to go on Eventbrite. I'd type in my industry, I'd look for free events, I'd sign up to them even though I wasn't invited, and I would just network my ass off. So definitely get yourself out there if you can.
Like that.
And second of all, make your own experience. Don't wait for someone to give you experience. Make your own. So what industry do you want to get into? I don't know, politics. Can you start a podcast that talks about politics, right? And where you share your passion and knowledge on the topic? You can put that on your CV, and that is 100% experience, but you aren't waiting for someone to just hire you. So that's what I tell lots of young people who are stuck in that cycle of, I don't have enough experience, so I can't get a job. So create your own.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. Thank you so much for joining. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Clearly, we are in a tricky recruitment stage. I think one of the best pieces of advice I have is, when it comes to applying for a job, look for the small to medium-sized companies. Now, the reason I say that is, traditionally and historically, applications for those types of companies are way less competitive compared to the big ones, simply because people don't know about them, they haven't got the clout online, they can't advertise as effectively or as on a larger scale. And so often, applying for a sort of small to medium-sized company, directly reaching out to the owners, you get in contact with humans a little bit quicker. You don't go through these sort of big sort of infrastructure based application processes. So I think that's one of the best pieces of advice I can give in regards to, if you're someone who's struggling, find the small medium companies and reach out to the owners or the directors directly. They might not respond directly to you, but they'll probably start passing them to the right people. And that's actually a really good way to start getting a little bit of contact. So I think that's a really helpful piece of advice and something I would definitely think about when it comes to the job. In regards to businesses, my honest advice is, like, don't let bad habits start sneaking just because you have more applications all of a sudden. Don't let bad habits start sneaking in regards to not giving feedback for interviews, just ignoring people, etc. Like, I promise you that will bite you further down the line. And if I'm being honest, you deserve it because it is poor behavior. You know, we've heard from a few people, it's pretty soul destroying. The very least you can do is drop them a quick email. That doesn't feel like too much to ask. And I do get it, right? I do get, in the midst of running a business, mistakes can happen. I totally own that. But if it happens too often, it's going to cause issues from a recruitment perspective further down the line when it becomes more of a candidate-driven market again. And I think overall, there is a positive, you know, it's not as bad as it has ever been. Like, I think that's important to say. It's not the worst ever, but that doesn't help if you're right in the sort of midst of it. So I think it's important to recognize that companies are very ready to hire the second they feel that reassurance back again. So I guess, looking at a more sort of global governmental level, we're looking for that security, we're looking for that confidence to come back, because I think the second it does, people will start investing in the business, in the growth, and really sort of doubling down on that, and that will obviously lead to hires there as well. And as always, wanted to finish off with a funny clip from around the world, because I'm aware we cover some quite heavy topics sometimes, and I really do want this to be a channel that people enjoy as much as, you know, perhaps it might help. And this one caught my eye, which is an absolutely delightful, delightful video of this woman's daughter and her reaction to her very first ever day of work, and the sort of like dawning realization that this working life thing isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Okay, so I'm just now picking Taylor up from our first shift, our first day on the job. So what do you have to say? Welcome to the working world. I'm sorry.
My back hurts.
That's one of the most infectious laughs I've ever heard.
I had I got here at 3.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome to the next 50 years.
6 hours. Okay. There's no seating out.
Amazing. Well, look, please do let me know in the comments any questions, any thoughts. It really, honestly, people really do message saying they're loving the comments and how helpful they have. So if you've got advice, like, please do leave it. Please do give this a like and subscribe if you're enjoying this channel. It makes a huge difference overall to how well it does and how many people get access to this information. And lastly, if there are topics you'd like me to cover, please do put them in the comments as well, because we're always looking for new topics, things we obviously have our list of what we would like to talk about, but very much want to take it from you as well. Other than that, thank you so very much for tuning in, and I will catch you all next week.